Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
With hot temperatures and lots of rainfall across the state, the mosquitoes have come out in full force. And it hasn't been pretty. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This hour, we will look at the mosquito population in Wisconsin, the outlook for the rest of the summer, the threat of mosquito-borne illnesses in the state, and how we can best protect ourselves against them. Plus, we will check in on the tick threat throughout Wisconsin, and we'll welcome your questions and your stories about what is bugging you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, it seems like it has been a particularly bad year for mosquitoes. I told a story at the top of the hour about this hike I took in Buckhorn State Park the other day. Oh, my God, I thought I was going to be eaten alive. It was it was just terrible. Can we say that's the case, or is it just, do I just have a bad memory?
Well, unfortunately, you know, no one's being paid to collect that sort of data, but certainly from my anecdotal, you know, talking to people and my own observations, it's a bad year, and it's probably going to get worse as the summer progresses since it's been so wet.
Yeah, so that's it? It's the rainfall and the wetness that that produces more mosquitoes?
That's probably the most important factor, is the availability of water and the warm temperatures, which speed up the development of the baby mosquitoes that live in aquatic environments. But the other thing is, of course, we had a really mild winter, and that helps the mosquitoes to survive the winter, and so there's more of them at the beginning of the summer to get started, too.
Really? So the mosquito eggs are there, or the mosquitoes hibernating in the winter or flying around in the winter?
Well, you know, there's over 60 species of mosquitoes that live in Wisconsin, and they have different ways of getting through the winter. Some of them that bother us, like the northern house mosquito, actually overwinter as adults. So a lot of them overwinter as eggs, and some of them overwinter as larvae in soil. And so, yeah, all of those different stages can be affected by really cold winters, and, you know, fewer of them will survive a really cold winter.
So because we had a relatively mild winter, we had more mosquitoes to start with. They didn't die over the winter.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what, they're laying eggs all summer long, too?
That's right. They go through several generations during the summer, and a lot of them reproduce in temporary bodies of water, including even just little dwatids in a flower pot or something. And so more rain means more temporary standing water and more opportunities for the mosquitoes to reproduce.
We certainly have had a lot of rain recently. Some areas around Madison saw 5 inches of rain from a storm earlier this week.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and so the adult mosquito looks for that water to lay eggs in that water?
That's right. It depends on the species. Some species are very particular about the water they breed in. Some of them will only lay their eggs in tree holes, water that collects in a tree. But others are very unpicky and will lay eggs in almost any kind of water. Baby mosquitoes have kind of an advantage over a lot of other animals because they have a snorkel that they breathe surface air out of. Even though they're under the water, they have a snorkel. So they don't really care how low of oxygen is in the water, and so they don't care how dirty the water is to some extent. And so they can be found in very stagnant water, and they'll do just fine.
No fair. They have a snorkel to survive that, even. My goodness.
That's right.
So this recent rain is going to impact the mosquito population, meaning we'll probably have even more or as many as the summer goes on.
That is correct, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, can we do anything? I assume if we have a flower pot full of water, we should dump that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, unwanted standing water, if you have that on your property, you're going to be contributing to the local mosquito population. So it's in your best interest to try to keep those kind of water sources down. Certainly there's some water that you want to keep on your property. If you have a water feature or something, you can also use the mosquito dunks, which are really cultures of a bacterium called Bacillus thuringiensis. It's the same bacterium that they've used a gene to genetically modify crops. This is essentially a disease that the mosquitoes get, and there's a particular strain of BT, or Bacillus thuringiensis, that only preys on flies like mosquitoes. And so it's fairly selective. It's much better than putting like pesticide in the water or something. Mostly only going to kill the mosquito larvae. So you can drop those mosquito dunks into ponds, and that can really reduce the number of mosquitoes that come out onto your property.
And what, can you pick this up at the local garden center or what?
Yes, that's right. They're usually called dunks, mosquito dunks. But it's BT or Bacillus thuringiensis.
Yeah. I'm still thinking of 60 different species of mosquitoes. My goodness. What is there one in particular that is, or maybe not? I mean, they're all biting and eating us, right?
There's not all of the 60 mosquitoes actually even bite humans at all. So some of them are just out there biting other animals. But there are certainly certain species that really like people or are found around people's houses and so on. Some of them fly at night. Some of them fly in the daytime. So you're being attacked by different mosquitoes depending on where you are and when you're there.
Do we know why I was swarmed by mosquitoes and my husband just, lollygagged down the hiking trail without getting bothered at all?
Yep. That's an interesting question. There's no question that mosquitoes sort of are attracted to people not only by body heat and by carbon dioxide that we're breathing out. They're attracted to that, but they also seem to be attracted or repelled by different chemicals on our skin. And so people seem to just have natural variability in those chemicals. And so that's the case with my wife and myself as well. My wife seems to have much more trouble with mosquitoes than I do.
Yeah. So
that's a real thing.
So if I maybe if I switch perfumes or something, I don't know. they may not that as much.
That is a possibility. Certainly with wasps, many of them are attracted. Even wasps can be attracted to perfumes. So that's a good idea when you're out in nature to maybe try to minimize the scents that you're putting on yourself. We also know that drinking beer actually makes you more attractive to mosquitoes.
Oh, no.
Which is unfortunate. Also, it's been shown that smoking is something that mosquitoes don't like either. Nicotine, of course, you might know, is produced by the tobacco plant to prevent insect feeding. So nicotine is actually a powerful insecticide. And so smoking actually can make you less attractive to insects, too. Back in the 20th century, field biologists used to use cigars as basically anti-mosquito devices before the advent of DEET, which, of course, is much more effective than smoking for repelling insects.
So, that's what we need to do if we are a mosquito magnet like I am. I don't know what I was thinking. I did not have any repellent at all on. When you say DEET, that's what's in off or those types of mosquito repellents?
Yeah, that's the most common insect repellent. There are some others. If some people don't like the idea of DEET, there's been some reported side effects and things about it. And so there's some other ones you can use too, like picaridin. And there's also some chemicals that are incorporated into these bug off clothes, basically insecticides like permethrin. DEET works very effectively, but all of those products you need to reapply throughout the day. DEET will work for a couple hours, 2 hours, 4 hours. Some of the natural oils actually can be quite effective, but they work as they're evaporating off your skin. And so it's important to apply those even more frequently, probably about every half an hour. you want to use the natural plant oils.
Next time I'm on a hike, I'm going to have a big spray bottle of that stuff, and I'm just going to be spraying in advance of me walking and spray it all over as I walk with have a fog around me or something.
Yeah, and it's been shown that, you know, DEET can be sort of bad for you, so it's probably not a good idea to put the 100% DEET on your skin. Apparently the 30% of DEET works pretty much just as well. And I would only put that strong stuff on your clothes and put the 30% or less on your skin.
We will, check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about the mosquitoes that are bugging us this summer. We have lots of them. It seems like it's worse than usual, especially with lots of rainfall across the state. Are you being bothered by mosquitoes? How do you cope with mosquitoes? We'll talk about the risk of mosquitoes. We'll talk about more on prevention. We'll also talk about some other bugs that are bugging us and check in on the tick threat as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So are you being bugged by mosquitoes this summer more than usual? We are talking about what appears to be a worse than usual mosquito population, and we are wondering why that is and the threat that that poses. We'll also welcome your questions about coping with or protecting yourself against mosquitoes or other insects. We'll talk some about the tick threat coming up. And boy, it seems to me there are a lot of other biting flies out there too. We'll see if our guest expert can help us with those as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Gary on Facebook writes, DEET does work. They say the 35% stuff is as effective as the 100% stuff, which may be true, except it doesn't stay effective as long. He goes on, but is that what you were saying before news, Professor Draney?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice right there. Yeah,
and it's okay to use either one, but don't put the 100% right directly on your skin.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great idea to put the 100% on your skin. You also want to be aware that DEET is chemically reactive to a lot of different kinds of plastic. And it can damage camera lenses and eyeglass lenses, and it can damage other plastic surfaces. So you want to be a little bit careful about how much that, especially that 100% DEET that you put near those objects.
Yeah, good advice. I never thought of that.
And
you also said there's clothing that is treated with this. It's called Bug Off or something.
Yeah, you can get that kind of stuff at sporting goods stores, and it will stay good for, they say, something like 20 trips through the washing machine. Obviously, eventually, the insecticide is going to kind of wash off. So that's a good option for some people, but obviously, it's not going to protect you very much from your exposed skin on your hands and face. So, I would say that's a really good advice, too, in general, is if you're really in a mosquito-y area, it's a good idea to wear long sleeves and long pants.
Yeah, that was the advantage my husband had too. He did have long pants on.
And that's a huge advantage. Yeah,
I was truly almost running. I was flailing my arms all around my head and torso to try to keep them from landing on me, but they were on my legs, and it was just terrible. I felt it was not my favorite hike in the world. But now I know I'm gonna wear long pants next time I do a hike, and I'm going to make sure I have some kind of repellent on. What about something that's not the DEET? Way back when, I remember it was an Avon product, Skin So Soft, supposedly repelled mosquitoes. Do we know if there's anything a little more natural?
Yeah, it's interesting that I've heard from a lot of people that swear by Avon Skin So Soft. scientific tests have shown that stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say use that at your own risk. But there are some products that do work besides the, I mentioned the picaridin, which is another synthetic chemical. So that might not be attractive to people who are, you know, nervous about DEET, but certainly it works quite well too. It's more expensive than DEET. But there are natural oils, lemon eucalyptus, lemongrass, citronella, all of those work okay too. There's some things like oil of catnip that you can get that also work good. But again, they work because they're evaporating, and so they wear off pretty quickly.
Ah. So oil of catnip, is my cat Ray going to go crazy if I put that on?
Maybe so. I've seen cats that behave very strangely around catnip.
You know, that citronella, somebody gave me citronella candles. Does that help if you're out on the patio or not?
Yeah, it can. It's a very localized effect, of course. And, you know, hungry mosquitoes will bite through things like that, too. So there's kind of a limited effect. But I've noticed that they can have a real effect. For me, the best advice that I have for people when they want to enjoy on the patio, well, there's two things. One, really obvious, is that screens were invented to protect us from mosquitoes. So
yeah,
that works great. And then the other thing that maybe people aren't as aware of is that, you know, just like you mentioned, you almost ran when you were hiking, because when you run, the mosquitoes essentially can't keep up with you. They are really weak flyers, and if you have a big fan, it will keep away most mosquitoes. So sitting in kind of the breeze of a big outdoor fan can actually keep your patio pretty mosquito free.
That's a great idea.
Try.
A fan, yeah. And what about bug zappers?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of bug zappers. There's a couple things going on. One is that to the extent that bug zappers work to kill mosquitoes, they're doing that because they are attracting the mosquitoes to the bug zapper. And so essentially they are attracting mosquitoes from a wider area of your neighborhood than mosquitoes would be attracted to you normally. So you're actually pulling mosquitoes in from your neighborhood if you have a bug zapper. The other thing, though, is that bug zappers are actually more attractive to a lot of other insects that are harmless or even good insects, including a lot of moths, right, that are attracted to lights. And so they have really bad impacts on really beneficial insects and can really harm the ecosystem. So I'm not a fan of bug zappers.
Russell in Dalton is with us. Hi, Russell.
Hello, Joy. Many years ago, back in the 70s, I was working up in Phillips with a friend building a cabin, and we were being besieged by mosquitoes. And there was a guy came by and he said, well, why don't you try this? And they were pills. And I said, what are they? And he said, they are massive doses of vitamin B12, like 1,000 times the minimum daily requirement. So we gave it a try and it seemed to work. But I haven't heard anything about it since.
So is there, I know you're not a medical doctor, Professor Drini, but what about,
right,
is there some sort of anything you can eat or take like a supplement like that would make you less attractive to mosquitoes?
It's certainly possible. I'd have to say, though, that a lot of things have been tried out by entomologists for their effectiveness. And one of them, I'm not sure if this is the same thing that your caller took or not, but vitamin B1, I think, was thought to be possibly a mosquito repellent, and it has not been shown to be effective. So people have done experiments, you know, with and without, and it doesn't seem to have any effect. So I don't know if that's the same one, but there's certainly no vitamin supplements that have been demonstrated to be effective against mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Some other things that people have tried and have failed are marigolds. Some people think that marigolds, because they repel a lot of other insects that feed on plants, they don't seem to be effective against mosquitoes. Vanilla is not effective against mosquitoes. Lemon joy, and I think I already mentioned Avon Skin So Soft. Also, Vicks VapoRub seems to not really, the mosquitoes don't really care about it.
Well, Russell, that vitamin B12 probably gave you some good energy, though. So
yeah, hard to say.
Yeah,
I don't want to gainsay, you know, who knows, maybe something works, but certainly has not been demonstrated by scientists to work.
Yeah. We have, getting back to the cause of our large mosquito population, Debbie in Laval is with us. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say around by us, we used to have tons of bats, and we don't have hardly any anymore, and the mosquitoes are terrible here.
Yeah, another listener named Jill called to ask whether the decline in the bat population may have something to do with the rise in the mosquito population, Professor Draney.
Well, first I have to say that this is an important point, that mosquitoes are not just bad insects. I mentioned some mosquitoes don't even bite people, but all mosquitoes are important parts of the ecosystems they're found in, and they're oftentimes food for a lot of different animals that we care about. Having said that, though, it's hard to get scientific proof that bats or birds are actually affecting the populations of mosquitoes in such a way to lower them. And that's simply because there are so many mosquitoes that they kind of swamp out the effect of the bats. You can sort of calculate how many mosquitoes a bat would eat, and it is impressive. So bats can eat something like 2,000 mosquitoes in a night. And so, yeah, they may have some localized effects. I'm not gainsaying that, but big mosquito outbreaks that we see are probably not because of the unfortunate decline of bats recently.
Yeah. Thank you, Debbie, for the call. You know, I received an email from Purdue University. There is a researcher there who is working on insecticides that would suppress a mosquito's ability to transmit diseases without killing the mosquito. Apparently, she wants to, kill the virus and not the mosquito, thinking that the mosquito doesn't deserve to die. It was sort of a save the mosquito. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I think that would be awesome if we could come up with something like that, some sort of a truce between us and mosquitoes, because they really are important parts of ecosystems. They're even more abundant than we perceive, because, of course, they start off as aquatic insects, and most of those aquatic insects don't make it to adulthood. So there's a huge number of mosquitoes in the environment, and they're doing things besides just drinking our blood right there. They're also filtering out water and helping with nutrient cycling in aquatic systems, cleaning up the water, and providing food for all sorts of animals. So if we could come up with ways to live with mosquitoes and not wipe them out, I think that's a really good thing.
Well, let's talk about those viruses that they do carry, at least the ones that we are most concerned about in Wisconsin. West Nile virus, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services notes that the disease has been reported in 19 counties so far this year in Wisconsin. There has yet to be any confirmed cases in humans. Birds. They're seeing that in birds, apparently. We've heard of those cases from time to time in humans. So that is a concerning virus that mosquitoes carry, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what we call an emerging disease because it's not sort of native to this area. It was brought in from the old world to New York City in 1999. And it spread, it made its appearance in Wisconsin, I think it was 2007 or something like that. And it had a really strong impact, especially on certain birds. Crows, jays were really hard hit by this disease. It's a virus that it sort of hangs out in animals, as we call them, the reservoir populations. But it can be transmitted via mosquitoes to us. And so it can be a dangerous disease. There isn't a lot of cases right now in Wisconsin and other parts of the Midwest, but it can kind of come and go, right? So we have to monitor. That is something that people do monitor, the cases of that. And there's other diseases that are vectored by mosquitoes, more rare, but there are other diseases to worry about too.
Yeah,
it's important to reduce your chance of getting those.
The West Nile virus, if I'm not mistaken, was that discovered in bigger numbers in around the La Crosse area, like around the Mississippi River or something? Are there regions of the state more susceptible?
It's really hard to say. I don't think people understand it very well because it's such a complicated system of so many different animals that can be reservoirs and can spread the disease, and then you have the mosquitoes, and then you have human behavior on top of that. So it may be that that time it was a real problem in the La Crosse area. Some other time it might be a problem in Madison. We don't, you know, it's hard to predict. Kind of like the weather, but maybe even more complicated than that.
And a year ago at this time, it seemed all we could talk about was Zika, the mosquito-borne virus that was of particular concern for pregnant women or women who hoped to become pregnant. Now we don't hear a whole lot about it. Has the threat passed, or what's going on?
Not really, but as the case with a lot of these emerging diseases, right when they enter a new place, they kind of spread like wildfire, right? So anybody who's susceptible and you know, are going to get it very quickly. And so they oftentimes, these diseases are really bad at first, but it doesn't mean that the threat is gone. So let's be clear. So there isn't any transmission of Zika going on in Wisconsin. It's a tropical, mostly a tropical sort of disease, which has the potential to spread in the United States. But it's mostly spread by a mosquito called Aedes aegypti, which is not found in Wisconsin. It's a tropical mosquito that's found in Florida and South Texas and so on. There are some mosquitoes, though, that can transmit Zika that live in Wisconsin. And in particular, there's one called the Asian tiger mosquito, which has been imported into Wisconsin. And it's not very common. It's hard to find it. I don't think they found one yet in Wisconsin this year. But there are other mosquitoes in the same genus that may be able to transmit the disease. So it's something we have to be watching out for. But as citizens, there's not a Zika threat in Wisconsin right now.
So who in the world would import a mosquito? No, I'm kidding. How does it come over here?
Yeah, of course, it's always on accident that the mosquitoes get moved around. But you can imagine these mosquitoes that love to lay their eggs in little standing bodies of water like flower pots and things.
There we go.
Those are the ones that can be moved around very easily. So what happens is, this is the main way that they get moved around, is things like tires, old tires. Water gets into a tire, and it's really hard to get the water back out again. And so we move tires around, and you can move mosquitoes around pretty easily. And so that Asian tiger mosquito probably came from Asia to America on things like old tires and has become quite well established now farther south in the United States.
We have just a minute before news. Are there any other mosquito-borne diseases? You mentioned there are some that we should be concerned about, especially in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there are some others that are rarely picked up in Wisconsin. Rocky Mountain spotted fever, La Crosse virus, Jamestown Canyon virus. But they kind of have similar symptoms to West Nile virus. That is, usually it's not a very big deal, but they can cause, it can be neuroinvasive and cause things like encephalitis.
Oh.
And so all of them can be quite dangerous. But, you know, it's hard to tell one from the other unless you culture the virus. So essentially for a person, they're kind of all the same, and you basically just want to protect yourself from getting bitten by mosquitoes too often.
That's where I got the La Crosse virus thing in my head. So that's different than the West Nile virus.
Yeah, La Crosse virus was named after the first patient that they isolated the virus from was somebody in 1960 who died in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
I see.
And they later found out it was this virus, and they named it the La Crosse virus because of that. It's not particularly common in La Crosse. It's found throughout the sort of Midwest and eastern United States.
We are talking with Michael Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW-Green Bay, talking with him about the mosquito population in Wisconsin this summer, talking all things mosquito. We will also talk about some other pests, including the tick and the tick threat throughout the state after we check news. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org if you have a question or a story to share. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about mosquitoes and other things that are bugging us this summer with our guest, Michael Draney, a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. So what has your experience been like? How are you coping? What questions do you have about the what seems to be the larger than normal mosquito population this summer? And what about ticks? What about other pests? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You know, Professor Draney, this isn't a summer pest, but the last time we spoke, I think we talked about spiders because you're quite the expert. Yeah. You're a worldwide known expert on spiders. You were dealing with the first known case of a black widow spider in Brown County. My goodness, how did that happen?
Yeah, so obviously people have brought black widows to Brown County before on accident in with grapes and stuff like that. These are black widows that occur farther south. But this is actually a native species of black widow that lives in Wisconsin called the northern widow. And it's been known in Wisconsin, actually almost throughout Wisconsin, for a long time, but it had never been found in Brown County. And there's a lot of other counties where we've never found one either. And so somebody just sent me some photos, and they said, "What is this spider?" And it's like, wow, that's the native black widow. I've been collecting spiders, you know, since I got here in 1999, thousands of spiders I've collected in Wisconsin. I'd never found one yet. So they're not common because it's just about as far north as they can survive. So they're pretty rare this far north.
And are they going to kill us if they bite us?
Actually, it is a very painful bite, and it can require hospitalization. It can cause muscle contraction, which can interfere with breathing. The mortality rate of black widow bites is actually quite low, though. It's less than 5%. So it's not like some dangerous snakes or whatever that are really dangerous. But you don't want to get bit by one. However, people coexist with hundreds and thousands of black widows on their properties farther south and are rarely bitten. So the few that live up in Wisconsin, there's not been any documented case of someone being bitten by a black widow in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And the black widow is identified by some sort of, what is it, like a red hourglass on the body?
Yeah, and just sort of in general, shiny black and bright red coloration is kind of rare, and it's a warning that the spider is giving to smart animals like us to stay away. And so down in the South, every little kid, 5 years old, knows exactly what a black widow looks like. It's really easy to kind of glom onto that message the spider's sending. So yeah, if it's about the size of a grape and it's shiny black, even if you don't see the red, it's a black widow.
Yeah. Well, I will stay away. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I said that we'd also talk about ticks because you were quoted in an article earlier this spring predicting probably a worse than usual mosquito population or a larger than usual mosquito population, and the same for ticks. Is that the case as well? Do we have more ticks than usual?
Yeah, again, unfortunately, no one is paying anyone to monitor that kind of data. So
who wants that
we
job?
We don't really know for sure. But, yeah, my experience certainly doing field work this spring was that the ticks got started earlier. There were some students on the UW Green Bay campus, ecology students, that got ticks in February this year when they were out.
Wow.
And I certainly started seeing a lot of ticks around Easter time. And so it was definitely an early tick season, and it seems to have been a pretty bad one. It's a little different with the ticks because they have more of an annual cycle. And so their populations do not explode when the conditions are temporarily good, like with mosquitoes. So with the ticks, it's more like a lot of them survived, and they're out there for a long time, rather than just millions and millions of them building up, fortunately for us.
Yeah, that's right. So again, we have to be careful because ticks have a lot of tick-borne diseases, too. Same type of advice to prevent, bites from ticks?
Yeah, similar advice. One thing I will say is if there's one animal you need to worry about in Wisconsin, it's ticks. The mosquitoes, yeah, there are some risks with West Nile and so on, but ticks transmit, especially this you know, Lyme disease, a lot of people are getting it. It's a very serious disease. So it's the most important, you know, arthropod or creepy crawly to worry about in Wisconsin by far. The difference with the ticks, of course, is that they sort of climb up you from vegetation. So it's in addition to DEET, it's really a good idea to have the right clothing and to tuck your pants into your socks if you're going to be in a very tick-infested kind of area, very grassy area where a lot of deer maybe are living. You're really susceptible to ticks there.
Yeah, and
and then you need to do. Troy, I was going to say, doing a tick check at the end of the day when you take your clothes off is also really important with ticks, because it's not just whether a tick bites you or not. A tick will embed and stay feeding for a long period of time. And the longer the tick is biting you, the greater the chance of transmitting Lyme disease. So it's really important to find and remove the ticks. That's the important thing with ticks.
I had earlier mentioned that Gary on Facebook had a comment about DEET, and but he did also have another comment, which was, it's funny and it's not. Deer flies, he says, are the worst things out in the woods right now. He lives in the North Woods, and they will be until fall. The only effective deterrent from them is a good air-conditioned tavern.
You know, I tend to agree with him. That's definitely a really pestiferous insect that occurs in the late summer. They are of less medical concern because they don't transmit these diseases as far as we can tell. But they are painful biters, much more painful than a mosquito. And they seem to be in some ways a little more persistent than mosquitoes in that I feel like they oftentimes will bite through the DEET. And so you really need to have long sleeves and long pants to try to protect yourself against deer flies. And they really can be maddening in late July and August.
Oh, yeah. They were after me, too, on that hike. There's also a little tiny black fly. What I just call it a black gnat or a little black fly. What do you know what that is that seems to bother people a lot?
There's two possibilities. Well, there's maybe three possibilities. One is it might be a small mosquito. Some mosquitoes are fairly small, and also if it has, it needs to have long legs to have a mosquito to be a mosquito.
Okay.
There's also black flies. You probably won't have black flies down in Madison because black flies need really the baby black flies need really clean, cold water. So they mostly live in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
But black flies are smaller than mosquitoes and sort of stout-bodied little flies that can also be really bothersome. Then there's also no-see-ums, and those are biting midges. They're also flies, but they're very small, maybe a millimeter or two, so a tenth of an inch or something. So if you can barely see a little black thing biting you, it might be a no-see-um, and certainly those live in grass, like lawns even, all throughout Wisconsin. They can be a problem. Some people are sensitive to them, too, and they get pretty good bumps like mosquito bites.
That I think that's what it is, because I don't even really see what's biting me, and it's like, gosh darn it.
Likely to be a no-see-um.
Yeah, and for those types of biting flies, again, that there's not a whole lot. The DEET's not going to prevent them from biting you?
No, actually, the DEET repels them as well, and I would say that the DEET is pretty effective on no-see-ums because I think it's a function of the size of the animal. They're so small that when they land on your skin, if you've got DEET on it, it's like they're swimming in it. And so, I think that DEET is quite effective against no-see-ums.
Yeah. Well, we have a caller with a question about a tick. Margaret in Daleyville is with us. Hi, Margaret.
Hi there. I had removed a tick from a horse that I owned and had a white spot on it. The tick, the horse also spiked a high fever and was treated with antibiotics. And I was just wondering what type of tick that could have been.
A tick that had a white spot on its back?
Yes.
Oh, do you know what that is, Professor Draney?
I'm afraid I can't really identify it based on that much information. A lot of the female ticks, when they get big and engorged, they have a light-colored area on their abdomen. So I'd hesitate to say which species it is, but it is true that there's a number of different diseases that can be transmitted to horses as well. So including West Nile virus. So it's certainly possible that your horse got sick from a tick bite.
Yeah, and you got to worry about your dogs and ticks, too. Dogs get Lyme disease and such.
And dogs and mosquitoes, of course. The heartworm organism is transmitted by mosquitoes. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, there is a heartworm preventative medication you can give your dogs for that. And
that's right. And very important to use that during the summer months.
Yeah. So that article that I mentioned that you were interviewed for about ticks and mosquitoes in the spring, predicting probably a banner year, also attributed some of this to climate change. So climate change is also what's making things worse.
Well, you know, if you look at Wisconsin's climate over the last 30 years, there's no question that we have been getting, in particular, warmer winters. Our summers are not necessarily getting a lot warmer, but when you look at the average February temperatures, there's a very clear upward trend. And so it's the very coldest days of the year that are going to have a big impact on overwintering survival of a lot of these pestiferous arthropods. So I think there's no question that the prediction is that global climate change is going to make it easier for insects to overwinter. It's going to result in a longer period during which they can bite us. And so, you know, we're going to become more like the tropics, right? There's a lot of problems with insect and tick vector diseases in the tropics because of that long growing season.
Well, in our final minute, less than a minute, just some final advice on how we can cope with mosquitoes in particular.
Take responsibility for your property. You don't want to be contributing a lot of mosquitoes to the neighborhood. And I always think of mosquitoes and ticks just like the weather. I think a lot of people want them to go away, but you don't really want rainy days to go away either. We live with them because they're part of the environment. And you just don't not go outside. Definitely get out there and live your life and enjoy, but just be aware of these animals and try to minimize your risk, and then you'll be fine.
Will do. Thank you so much for being with us. Michael Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW-Green Bay. Thank you to Chris Molina and to Michelle Johnson for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.